Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldhar, and today Maseches Ksubos, Daf Pei Gimel, the opening daf in the ninth parak, Hakosev Ishto. This is going to be an abbreviated shir. The Zichu Maseches Ksubos program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three daps we're going to focus on, number one, the opening mission in the ninth parak states, Hakosev Ishto din advarim eni benechasayach. If one writes to his wife, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property, referring to her nixim alug, Harza ochel peres bachayo v'mesa yorsha. He may nevertheless eat the produce during her lifetime, and if she dies, he inherits it. So if so, why did he write, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property? She machu benasna kaim, so that if she sold it or gave it away, the transaction stands. Rabbi Chiya taught a braisa which states, ha'omer l'ishto, if one says to his wife, meaning that he does not need to write this declaration in a formal contract for it to be effective. Point number two, the Gemara challenges whether making such a declaration is effective, for it was taught in a braisa. If one says to his friend who is a partner in owning a field, I have no claim or argument with respect to this field, or I shall have no business with it, or my hand is withdrawn from it, lomer klum, he has not said anything. Rashi explains that none of these statements are an expression that he's giving the field to his partner as a gift. So why should the husband's declaration work? The Gemara answers, they say in the base tradition of Rabbi Yannai, the husband's waiver is effective because of La Ba'oda Arusa, when he writes it to her while she is still an Arusa. For Rav Kana said, Nachla Bala Adam Makam Acher Adam Masna Leha Shoyer Hashena. With respect to an inheritance coming to a person through another source, meaning like marriage, a person may stipulate in advance that he should not inherit it. Rashi explains that since the Rabbanan enacted this for the benefit of the husband, he may waive his right to it. This is in accordance with what Rava said. One says, I do not wish to avail myself of a rabbinic takana made for my benefit, such as this, we listen to him, for it does not apply where the beneficiary refuses it. And pointing with you, the Mishnah states that if the husband had written to his wife that he has no claim with respect to her property or the produce, he may not consume the produce during her lifetime. Yehuda says, "Olam ocho periperos." He always retains the right to consume the peros of the peros, unless he writes to her, "I have no claim or argument in your produce or its produce uber periperosin ad olam, or to the produce of its produce to infinity." The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yehuda included in the husband's renunciation both the phrase "the produce of the produce" and "to infinity," which seems redundant. The Gemara brings three possible ways of understanding this statement, the third one being that both are necessary, for if he had only written periperos, the produce of the produce, then I might say that he can consume the produce of the produce of the produce. And if he had only written ad olam, to infinity, I might say that he will not consume the produce forever, meaning not this year, next year, and all the years to come, but he could consume the produce of the produce. The Gemara doesn't resolve, which is the correct way to understand the statement. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The opening mission, the ninth parak states, Hakosev ishto din udvarim enu min chasayich. If one writes to his wife, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property, referring to her nixim elug. Harza ochel peres bachayo v'mesa yorsha. He may nevertheless eat the produce during her lifetime, and if she dies, he inherits it. So if so, why did he write, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property? She machu benasna kaim, so that if she sold it or gave it away, the transaction stands. Rabbi Chiya taught a braisa which states, ha'omer l'ishto, if one says to his wife, meaning that he does not need to write this declaration in a formal contract for it to be effective. Point number two, the Gemara challenges whether making such a declaration is effective, for it was taught in a braisa. If one says to his friend who is a partner in owning a field, I have no claim or argument with respect to this field, or I shall have no business with it, or my hand is withdrawn from it, lomer klum, he has not said anything. Rashi explains that none of these statements are an expression that he's giving the field to his partner as a gift. So why should the husband's declaration work? The Gemara answers, they say in the base tradition of Rabbi Yannai, the husband's waiver is effective because of La Ba'oda Arusa, when he writes it to her while she is still an Arusa. For Rav Kana said, Nachla Bala Adam Makam Acher Adam Masna Leha Shoyer Hashena. With respect to an inheritance coming to a person through another source, meaning like marriage, a person may stipulate in advance that he should not inherit it. Rashi explains that since the Rabbanan enacted this for the benefit of the husband, he may waive his right to it. This is in accordance with what Rava said. One says, I do not wish to avail myself of a rabbinic takana made for my benefit, such as this, we listen to him, for it does not apply where the beneficiary refuses it. And pointing with you, the Mishnah states that if the husband had written to his wife that he has no claim with respect to her property or the produce, he may not consume the produce during her lifetime. Yehuda says, Olam ochel periperos. He always retains the right to consume the peros of the peros, unless he writes to her, I have no claim or argument in your produce or its produce, uber periperosin ad olam, or to the produce of its produce to infinity. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yehuda included in the husband's renunciation both the phrase, the produce of the produce, and to infinity, which seems redundant. The Gemara brings three possible ways of understanding this statement, the third one being that both are necessary. For if he had only written periperos, the produce of the produce, and I might say that he can consume the produce of the produce of the produce, and if he'd only written adolam to infinity, I might say that he will not consume the produce forever, meaning not this year, next year, and all the years to come, but he could consume the produce of the produce. The Gemara doesn't resolve which is the correct way to understand the statement. All right, so now we go to our siman daf pei gimel, and our standard siman is a pogo stick. A pogo stick. So here goes. The pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu dvarim eini min chasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, telling the rabbis down below he didn't want to avail himself of their takanas chachamim, until he got a stomachache from eating this way, and eventually wrote, I have no claim but pero pero sen, adolam. Once again, in slow motion. The pogo stick champ, pogo stick, that must be run off pei gimel. The pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu dvarim eini min chasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, which reminds us, the opening mission of the ninth parak states, Hakosevu ishto dinu dvarim eini min chasayich, if one writes to his wife, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property, referring to her nixim ilug, haiza ochu peros b'chayel v'imesa yorsha, he may nevertheless eat the produce during her lifetime, and if she dies, he inherits it. If so, why did he write, I have no claim or argument with respect to your property? She makrovanasna kayim. So that if she sold it or gave it away, the transaction stands. So the pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu dvarim eini min chasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, telling the rabbis down below he didn't want to avail himself of their takanas chachamim, which reminds us, the word challenges whether making such a declaration is effective, for it was taught in a brisa. If one makes a similar statement to his friend, who's a partner in owning a field, he hasn't said anything. Rashi explains that these statements are not an expression that he's giving the field to his partner as a gift. So why should the husband's declaration work? The Gemara answers the husband's waiver is effective because of Rabbi Oda Arusa, when he writes to her while she's still in Arusa. And this is in accordance with what Rava said, Ha'omer e'ibshe b'tekanes chachamim k'gonzo shomin lo. If one says, I do not wish to avail myself of a rabbinic tekana made for my benefit, such as this, we listen to him, for it doesn't apply where the beneficiary refuses it. So the pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu dvarim eini min chasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, telling the rabbis down below he did not want to avail himself of their takanas chachamim, until he got a stomachache from eating this way and eventually wrote, I have no claim but pero pero sen, adolam. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda says the husband always retains rights to consume the peros of the peros, the produce of the produce, unless he writes to her, I have no claim or argument in your property or its produce, uba pero pero sen adolam, or to the produce of its produce to infinity. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yehuda included in the husband's renunciation both the phrase the produce of the produce and to infinity, which seems redundant, and the Gemara brings three possible ways of understanding the statement. So once again, the pogo stick champ who wrote to his wife, Dinu dvarim eini min chasayich, would jump high to eat the apples right off the tree, telling the rabbis down below he didn't want to avail himself of their takanas chachamim, until he got a stomachache from eating this way and eventually wrote, I have no claim but pero pero sen, adolam. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.